Hi, and welcome to the Passionistas Project podcast. We're Amy and Nancy Harrington, and today we're talking with Kate Anderson, a leader in generating change and gender equality within the private fundraising space. As co-founder and operations director of iFundWomen, she's driven millions of dollars into the hands of female founders. iFundWomen's flexible crowdfunding platform combines a pay-it-forward model, expert startup coaching, professional video production, and a private community for its members, all with the goal of helping female entrepreneurs launch successful businesses. So please welcome to the show, Kate Anderson.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
What's the one thing you're most passionate about?
I have a lot of passions, but I think one of the things I'm most passionate about is representation of women. Seeing women represented on boardrooms, seeing women represented in movies, seeing women represented in books. I think the more we can see ourselves in women in media and on television and magazines, the more we can imagine that we can be there. And that's really one thing iFundWomen is working hard to do, is promote more women's businesses, help women to elevate their businesses more so that we can see more women in boardrooms and more women as CEOs and more women on the cover of Forbes and Fortune.
So talk about how iFundWomen came to be and your role in that.
Yeah, so iFundWomen was a pivot. My two co-founders, Karen Kahn and Sarah Summers, we worked together at another company. Our CEO, Karen Kahn, was the CEO then. Sarah and I both worked there. And it was a conversation platform for women. Karen had built it and did kind of a lot of the things that we now realize are mistakes for startups. So we built it without talking to a lot of people about it, without getting a lot of feedback, being really precious about the idea. And we realized after making a mistake, and all good growth comes from making mistakes, that's not the right way to start a business. The right way to start a business is to get a lot of people on board, to beta test, to see if people are interested, to build an MVP, which means minimally viable product. It's creating a product that is not perfect, but that gets the job done. And so anyways, we had this old company and as a last ditch effort, we did a Kickstarter campaign. And it was through there that we realized that crowdfunding was a great way for women to raise capital for their businesses, to not give away equity, to tap into their own great networks and their own ability to be good storytellers. But there was no crowdfunding platform that was speaking specifically to the needs of women, that was coaching women through the process, that was giving them the tools they need to prepare, and that was creating a community. So we decided as a beta to see if people were interested in it. We sent out surveys to various communities that we were all a part of saying, is this something you'd be interested in? And what would you look for in it? And we launched in November of 2016 with a beta of about 25 campaigns. We had hundreds apply, but we accepted 25 for the first beta to test it out. And that is a way better way to start a company.
So what were you doing before you started iFundWomen?
So we were working together on this, on our other startup. And then prior to that, I worked in commercial real estate development. So really like pivoted my career. But I worked for a company called Hines, which is a major premier real estate development company. Worked there for about 4 years right out of college. And it was such a great place to come up because it was really old school. And I think that there's a benefit in starting your career at a place that's really old school and established and has clear guidelines and clear protocols. And it was not casual. I think that it really taught me a lot about how to be a great operator, how to be a great employee, and less how to be a great manager. I'm learning how to do that now. But it taught me a lot of those things. And I think that there's a real benefit in starting at a place that's really corporate versus a place that's really casual.
And what's the vibe at iFundWomen? What's the culture like at that company?
We're a startup, so it's way more casual. It's at Pines where I work. Nobody talked about personal lives at all. Like you kind of didn't, if you heard about someone's personal life, it almost felt like seeing your parents naked. Like it was so personal and intimate. And at iFundWomen, and I think this is true of many startups, you know everything about the people that you're working with. And I like that. I like that. That is definitely more my nature. To be open with people, to tell people what's going on in my life. I don't like kind of feeling like that's not something to be able to talk about. But then you have this like fine line of what to share and what not to share. And when Karen, Sarah, and I started the company, right, three people that are great friends, we can share everything. But then as you bring more people in, you can't share everything. Just the three of us can.
So what's the mission of iFundWomen?
Our mission is to close the funding gap for female entrepreneurs. We really want to provide access to capital, coaching, and community. That is our core mission. That's our North Star. And that is what we work day in and day out to do.
How is iFundWomen different beyond that from other crowdfunding websites?
Yeah, so we're the only crowdfunding platform, first of all, speaking specifically to women. But beyond that, we are the only crowdfunding platform with expert business coaching tied into our business model, with a network of women business owners that work together to accelerate knowledge and ignite action. We have a pay it forward model that you were talking about, that at the end of every month, we invest 20% of our standard crowdfunding fees back into live campaigns on our platform. So we're actually paying for the revenue that we're making from campaigns. And then we also are offering sponsored grants. So we broker grants on behalf of generous partners who really want to put their money where their mouth is by supporting women entrepreneurs raising capital on our platform.
Talk a little bit more about why that's so important and the current state of funding for women-owned businesses.
The current state of funding for women-owned businesses is not where we want it to be. And I think people are familiar with these stats, but women receive 3% of venture capital financing. And women have a harder time getting loans. That when they do get loans, they get smaller loan amounts at higher interest rates. We know women are starting 1,500 net new businesses every single day in the U.S., right? So you're a woman in the U.S., you have a great idea, you're starting a business. Well, what do? How do you get funding for your business? The first thing most people do is they bootstrap, and bootstrap means spending your own money to grow your business. And that works really well if you have money to spend. But if you don't, how do you get your business off the ground? And we view iFundWomen as a place where people can do that. We don't think that you should go into debt funding the earliest days of your startup. And even if you do qualify for a loan, that's what you're doing, is you're going into debt funding the early days of your startup. And the fact of the matter is most startups fail. And it's important that when you're growing it, you do it in a way that's smart. And you're smart about the capital that you take on so that you don't have a failing startup and then loans to pay back or debt to pay back, credit card debt, whatever it is.
So what makes a successful campaign on iFundWomen? Are there elements that you find that help people succeed?
Really, first and foremost, if I had to just say one word, it would be grit. And that's probably what makes any successful entrepreneur in business, right? Anybody can have the best idea for something. An amazing idea that's going to make everybody's lives better and everybody is going to be so happy about it. But if you never tell people about the idea, if you're not ready to like put it all on the line, if you are not constantly promoting what you're doing to people, no one's going to find out about it. The specific type of person that's successful on iFundWomen is a person with drive, with commitment, and a person that really won't give up, that continues to promote their campaign, continues to get the word out there, and won't stop at anything until their campaign gets funded or their business gets moved to the next phase, whatever that might be.
Let's take a little step back and just explain what crowdfunding is for someone who's listening and doesn't really understand the concept.
So crowdfunding is when an entrepreneur raises small increments of money from lots of people that they know in their personal, professional, social networks that adds up to just enough money to get their project off the ground. So crowdfunding formally, as we know it, has been around for about a decade, which is the idea of raising money online from lots of different people. But historically, crowdfunding has been around for a long period of time. The Statue of Liberty is a project that was crowdfunded. Bringing the base of the Statue of Liberty over was crowdfunded by many people contributing pennies to see something happen. And I think that people really like that story because it resonates with the idea that lots of people can give amounts of money that feel comfortable to them to create something that's awesome and spectacular and has lasting value, right? Like, I think we all wish that we could contribute to see the Statue of Liberty or whatever that kind of iconic project is for us. But crowdfunding, there are two different types of crowdfunding. There's rewards-based crowdfunding and equity crowdfunding. Equity crowdfunding is a newer concept that came out of the Jobs Act, where you can raise, you can have people contribute to your business in exchange for equity. So that's ownership in your business. iFundWomen is a rewards-based crowdfunding platform. So people are funding your campaign in exchange for a physical or digital reward that they're getting. And the reward is really can be your product, services, unique skills. It's really your opportunity to thank people for contributing to your campaign, but also entice them to back your campaign and support your campaign because you have awesome rewards that you want to take part in.
What do you find, or do you find there's a common reason that women hesitate to do this kind of thing, and how do you help them get past that?
So we don't necessarily see that women hesitate to do this. I think in general, people feel uncomfortable asking other people for money. I think that that is kind of a, that can stall people, right? Like, I don't want to go out and ask my network. And what I always push back on that and say is, well, what happens if somebody else does this idea? How passionate are you about this idea that if somebody else did it, would you feel okay with that? And with scaling businesses, and this isn't true for all businesses, not all businesses need capital to grow. Some can be generating revenue from day one and be fine with the revenue that they generate. But many businesses do need capital, and you will always have to ask people for money, right? So maybe that's a banker, maybe that's a venture capital firm, maybe that's an aunt, maybe that's a spouse. You don't have to ask a credit card company, but at some point they will ask you to pay the money back. But what I think is so powerful about crowdfunding is it allows you to continue to hone your pitch and your messaging every time you ask people and continue to change it, right? So you might practice your pitch on lots of people and tell them, and they say, you know what, I didn't totally get what it is you're raising money for. So then it allows you to say, oh, you know what? Maybe I wasn't so clear. Let me try to rephrase this so it makes sense to a broader audience. And being able to kind of alter and pivot and adapt your pitch in real time is really powerful.
What's been the highlight of iFund for you so far?
We have been around for over 3 years, so it's been really exciting to see those initial beta campaigns to see what they've done now. We have been one of the premier crowdfunding platforms for co-working spaces, female-focused co-working spaces. And it's so cool to see co-working spaces that raise money on iFundWomen open up. Like, that to me is like, you know, you kind of feel like that's your baby taking their first steps, that you facilitated them being able to do that. It has been a million little things. I wish I could say there's like one great thing that's come out of it, but it's so many. It's getting handwritten thank you notes in the mail from entrepreneurs that we've helped on iFundWomen. It is getting feedback when I've coached an entrepreneur saying, you really helped me get unstuck. And it's seeing products come. I support a lot of the campaigns on iFundWomen, and it's supporting and then getting a product in the mail that you supported maybe a year ago and saying, oh my gosh, I love LoHo tights or Mini Lila or Femme Power Beauty. I love all of these brands that now I'm getting their products, and now I'm a lifelong user of it.
Is there a story of like one woman in particular that you've helped or you personally have funded that stands out to you?
There are so many women on this list. One campaign I particularly love is Lauren Beasley, who is an entrepreneur out of Nashville. She has a company called Move Inclusive Dance. She wanted to create a dance studio for children with special needs, or a dance camp for children with special needs in Nashville. She put up her campaign, and within a week or less, it was funded. And then about a year later, her audience said, okay, a dance camp is great in the summer, but what about a dance studio? What about year-round dance classes for kids with special needs? So she came back to iFundWomen to raise $100,000 for a dance studio. She raised about $45,000. And at that point, she had gone through iFundWomen's coaching program. And one of the things we tell entrepreneurs to do is list out everybody in your network or people that, you know, you might have 6 degrees of separation. One of those people was Carrie Doerr, who's the founder of Pure Bar, which is a fitness studio. And Lauren reached out to her and said, I'm a Pure Bar instructor. I love your company. Would you check out my campaign? Carrie Doerr wrote back and said, yes, can you fly out to Denver? Long story medium. She flew out to Denver and Carrie Doerr contributed $50,000 to her campaign and funded her campaign. And why I love this story is Lauren's doing such good. She's creating lasting change, which is so awesome. She's creating something that not a lot of people maybe thought that there was a need for, but there was a huge need for. She made the ask, but she also had data to back it up, right? So she wasn't cold emailing this person and she had $0 in her campaign and zero backers. She had $45,000 or $42,000 in her campaign and hundreds of backers. And she emailed that person then to say, look at what I've done. She told me she was expecting like $50 from her and got a magnitude more than that. But I love that. I love that that's like so forward facing, so public and obvious. I think that that's just like, and I love what she's doing to make the world a better place. Follow her on social media, Move Inclusive Dance. It is really, really inspiring.
So you mentioned this earlier, and I'd like to talk a little bit more about it. You mentioned that iFundWomen reinvests 20% of your fees into campaigns on the site. So talk about why you made that decision and what kind of campaigns you guys back.
When we started iFundWomen, we knew that we wanted to have a give it back model. We knew we had this idea of lifting women up constantly. So if one campaign gets funded, we wanted that campaign to help another campaign get funded and create this virtuous cycle of funding and supporting female entrepreneurs. The way we manifested it was iFundWomen takes a 5% fee on any amount of money that you raise. And then at the end of the month, we take 20% of the revenue from those fees and directly reinvest them into live campaigns on the site that are actively raising money. We do not pick them. Algorithms pick them. But it's been awesome to see. And it varies every month from maybe one campaign that will be picked or five or six campaigns that would be picked. But those campaigns then are way more likely to get funded. And it's a great opportunity for them to say to their networks, like, my campaign is so good that the iFundWomen team believed that I should be the recipient of this. And then the money just gets them that much further to their, or that much closer to their mark. It's everybody's favorite day of the month.
How can a woman that's listening to this podcast take advantage of all that iFundWomen has to offer?
If you head over to iFundWomen.com, you will see a big suite of resources that we have to offer to people. We have a lot of free resources. It is important to us to educate entrepreneurs before they launch crowdfunding campaigns. What we don't ever want is to someone to launch a campaign and say, oh, I thought it was this, or I thought I would just put a campaign up and magical money elves would come and back my campaign. We wish there were magical money elves, but it doesn't seem like they really exist. That we want people to know that you have to put the work in, that you have to have a plan, that you have to have clear messaging and a direct ask. So we have bundled that all into a free crowdfunding e-course. It takes about an hour and a half to watch that you can watch on iFundWomen. We have a free webinar every Thursday for an hour that really talks about what crowdfunding is. And then for people that want more handholding and really are looking for personalized coaching, we have a coaching program. It's a monthly coaching model where you pick the topic of the calls that you want and can get help with anything from your crowdfunding campaign to marketing to social media to sales, so that you can really not only elevate your crowdfunding campaign, but at the same time, elevate your business.
We're Amy and Nancy Harrington, and you're listening to the Passionistas Project podcast in our interview with Kate Anderson. To learn more about crowdfunding for female founders and get expert startup coaching, visit iFundWomen.com. Now here's more of our interview with Kate. Do you have a daily routine, or is it always different?
No, it's always different. And you know what? Honestly, I kind of like to operate that way. I start off my day at work every day with the same thing. I have a checklist of things that I go through. And then the day starts, and I really have a lot of calls throughout the day. Then I block. So maybe I do. I block out time. Like at 3 o'clock, I have an education block. And that is a time for me to read like those articles that people send me, or things that I saw online that I haven't had a chance to read. I have a 30-minute block in my day to do that. I close out my day between 4:30 and 5:30. So I try to do that as much as possible. But then I need to get better at having a daily routine, because I think in every other aspect of my life that helps to optimize and helps to just not have to make decisions.
That's a good idea, the education block.
I love that. I need to do
that. I'm definitely going to work that into my schedule now.
And I think the best thing to do, too, is to copy the links of, okay, this article I saw or this one someone sent me. Copy the links into the calendar invite. So you open it up and you say, okay, this is what I'm reading right now. It's 30 minutes. And we all have that time in our day to do something like that. And if you're not, I am kind of maniacally focused on being curious, growing, acquiring new skills, reading interesting articles. And if you don't kind of block that time in, then sometimes it gets lost.
Do you think you have a particular personality trait that has helped you succeed?
I am very skilled at putting myself in other people's shoes. And that really comes from how I was raised. That was always the position that we were taught is, you know, you never know what someone has going on at home or in other aspects of their life. And that has really helped me in dealing with people, right? All jobs are dealing with people. It's dealing with customers. It's dealing with your team. And if you don't have good skills with that, if you don't have the ability to put yourself in other people's shoes, you kind of can't grow. And then I think in addition to that is self-awareness. And it's a quality I really like in people, is really being self-aware about what you're good at, what you're not good at. And being honest about that, I think, is really, really huge.
Is there one lesson that you've learned on your journey so far that really sticks with you?
Working at a startup is really challenging. There's no roadmap of what you're doing. You're constantly having to change. I think like a great lesson is really just being open to change and being curious and not being fixed in your thinking and knowing when to ask for help and knowing when you can figure things out yourself. But working at a startup is really, there's just like constantly a moving target. You constantly change, adapt, learn new things. And that is, I think, can be hard for some people, but for me, it's been exciting. And I feel like every day I'm like, have a new skill set that I'm working on.
So what is the most rewarding part about working at a startup?
I think really the most rewarding part from coming from like a corporation is making change, like having a suggestion that gets inputted in real time, like saying, okay, I think we should do this. All right, let's do it. And now our website looks different because of someone's guidance and advice. That is so powerful. And I think if you never had that before, then you're so surprised when you do have it and really appreciative of it. That's been really, really an awesome thing to do and see and be able to just see how your suggestions can really form, can improve people's lives, can streamline the process, can make things easier. I've been really grateful to be able to be in a position to do that.
When you were a girl, what lessons did your mother teach you about women's roles in society? And what do you want to teach your own children?
I grew up with a mom who stayed at home until I was in middle school. And then she started working and now has her own company and works entirely too much. But my parents were equal partners. And even though my dad worked, it was very much both people were equal parents. And I think that it's sometimes hard to say what are specific things. I think sometimes you can comment on things that you didn't like. But like one thing I loved my parents did is we would occasionally just be kind of jerky kids and would say something like, that's dad's money, which is such a jerk thing to say, right? Like, and it's so, I don't even know where we came up with that. But it was always clear in our household, like my dad worked and my mom stayed at home and this was the family's money. There was no hierarchy between my parents at all. And that like largely impacted most of my thoughts about relationships. I work, both me and my husband work. So that was different than my experience was growing up, but it never felt like that was something I couldn't do because I didn't see that behavior modeled. I saw a relationship between my parents that was largely based on respect. And that has been what my relationship has been based on. And it has made it easy enough to be a working team raising kids and trying to grow our careers.
Did you have other influential female role models when you were growing up?
Yeah, so many. I have so many aunts that are absolutely phenomenal, that I'm very, very close with. All my grandmothers are still alive, and they are so influential for me. I feel really lucky to always have had like strong women figures in my life. And the idea of like a meek female, that archetype would never existed in any woman that I've ever had a relationship with. But really, like, the people that had the biggest impact of life, my life, are my family. And I am so lucky to have three grandmothers that are strong, very funny, very witty, opinionated women who had cool lives. And same with, I have amazing aunts, and I still have amazing aunts, and I'm really fortunate for all of them.
What about professional mentors? Have you had professional mentors, and what do you admire about them?
Yeah, so I've had fewer professional mentors. That's definitely something I am like kind of seek out. I have a lot of people on the same level of career as me, or maybe a few stages ahead. And being at a startup and not kind of having like a, you know, it's not a big corporation where you have a huge hierarchy. It's something I definitely seek out. But I have a lot of women that are at the same stage of my careers, like great friends and people who have become great friends who have helped to kind of solve that mentorship role. And to me, mentorship is not like, oh, will you be my mentor and guide me in the process? It's having somebody to gut check things. Like really, as I said, I live in Boston. My best friend in Boston has been such an amazing asset for me in gut checking career questions and kid questions, but having kind of people serve in that role of being advisors to you, I think that can come from just having great friends and not just having one person in a mentorship role. Is surrounding yourself with amazing women and men that can provide guidance for you. That to me is kind of how I fill that role.
What's your proudest career achievement?
There's an organization I love, a media company called Rebel Girls, and they write children's books called Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls. I love them. I've been such a fan of theirs. And we had partnered with them on I Fund Women, and I got to, for International Day of the Girl, speak publicly on a panel to young girls about representation of women. And my daughter got to see me speak, and it was my first paid speaking engagement. And that was like my proudest mom moment. My daughter thought I was crushing it. I felt like I was crushing it, and she got to watch it. And that really just made me feel like so proud of being able to be in a position to do something like that.
What's your dream for women?
My dream for women is to not have to work so hard to get what we deserve. I kind of, you know, those signs from the Women's March that said, like, I can't believe we're still marching about this stuff, is to not have to work so hard, is to just be able to exist and not have to fight for things that I think that we deserve to have. And I think that we deserve to have like 60 years ago. And I think that's largely an inefficient use of time. I would love to see more women in positions of power. I went to a speaking engagement the other day at Harvard. A male physicist was speaking, and a woman introduced him, and they said, she is the first tenured physics professor at Harvard. And I turned to my husband, and I was like, it's 2020. Like, you've got to be kidding me. And we kind of had, like, a discussion about it. And I said, like, I find that so problematic that it's 2020, and she's the first tenured physics professor at Harvard, and it seemed like she was recently tenured. I would like that to not be the norm. That I would like there to stop being the first woman, right? Like, just not the first woman president, not the first woman, you know, anything. I would just like it to be that's expected. And I think that we're getting there, and I think that progress is really slow, and I wish that it wasn't so slow.
What's your secret to a rewarding life?
Balance, having interests, surrounding yourself with interesting people, measuring success not by one metric, right? So I think when people, their success is just tied to their job, that's not how I view success. Being outside, to me, solves most problems of life, unless there's fires happening and we're experiencing global warming. But I think that that can solve a lot of things. But to me, it really is balance, and then choosing what that balance is for you. I think that work-life balance is a term that's overused and misproperly used, but is to me, it's having different things that fill your tank. It's getting up every day and having different things that will get you jazzed to go. So that might be work. It might be an exercise class. It might be coming home to your kids. It might be, like, for me, it's like reading a really good book. But having different things that get you excited and going, that to me is like the most important thing.
Thanks for listening to the Passionistas Project podcast and our interview with Kate Anderson. To learn more about crowdfunding for female founders and get expert startup coaching, visit ifundwomen.com. Please visit thepassionistasproject.com to learn more about our podcast and our new subscription box filled with products made by women-owned businesses and female artisans to inspire you to follow your passions. Sign up for our mailing list to get 10% off your first purchase. And be sure to subscribe to the Passionistas Project podcast so you don't miss any of our upcoming inspiring guests.